Hallelujah. In the midst of the storm. Hallelujah. Tell folks all the time, that's where your victory is. In the midst of the storm, not on the other side of it. Amen. This morning, if you open up your Bibles to the book of Genesis, we're going to travel just a little bit. In the second chapter. Been around a lot of saints in the last couple of weeks. Yeah, they're still saints. But I'm noticing that they don't understand that they're supposed to be bringing forth or bearing a certain type of fruit. They seem to think because they have a title, that makes everything all right. Yeah. But it doesn't. God requires something of us.
Amen.
In the book of Genesis, in the second chapter, I'm going to let you name this one, Brother Ian. In its 11th verse, it reads as such, and God said, somebody look at your neighbor and say, God said. Chapter 2, 11th verse. Is that where it's at?
No.
That's not it? Oh, it's in the first chapter?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I know where it's at. Oh, y'all in the second chapter. God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit. After what? After his kind. Whose seed where? Is in itself, upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed, after what? His kind. And the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was where? In itself, after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the what? The third day. Amen. First, we won't start with the third day. How many understand what the third day represents? The number three represents completeness. Three is significant of the divine perfection. Amen. And completeness. Also, it includes Jesus rose on what? The third day. It also deals with the resurrection on the third day. And whether you know it or not, the earth rose up from the deep on the third day. And the fruit rose up out of the earth on the third day. Amen. Amen. So on our third day, God expects something to rise up out of our lives. The third day is when the Spirit of the living God, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, has his way in your life and brings forth a manifestation of the gifts or the fruit of the Spirit.
Amen.
Here what we're seeing is that it said, and God said. That means it's what? It's a declaration. It is a commandment.
All right, now.
God said that every herb yielding seed and the fruit tree yielding after its own kind. If you look at the word yield, it means in the Hebrew to sow or to plant. The word seed represents fruit or a plant. The word yielding or yielding is the accomplishment or the fulfillment or to bring forth. Look at the word fruit. The word fruit in the Hebrew means a reward. Remember that. It means a reward. And kind represents a species.
Yeah,
amen. Amen. So God said, let the earth bring forth grass and the herb yielding seed and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself, meaning that there's life in the seed already.
Amen.
There's life in the seed already because God commanded life to be in the seed already.
Amen.
So therefore, the seed didn't need anybody to do anything for it. Amen. Whether we want to believe it or not, you can take seeds sometimes and throw them out in the yard and they will manage to grow on their own because the life is in the seed itself and not, come on now, it's not in the ground, it's in the seed. You know, we got fertilizer and we got all these different things and compost that we put on our seeds and on our plants now. But you have to remember, they had none of this stuff back then.
Right. Amen. Amen. Amen.
That means man is constantly changing things and rearranging the order that God already set things in. So the seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. Why was it so? Because God already declared it to be so.
Amen.
We don't have to wait on it to happen. It was what it was.
Amen.
And the earth brought forth grass, and the herb yielding seed after his kind. I like that. Anybody paying any attention to the way it's worded? It said after what? After his kind. Now we know that it's impossible for a flower to be a his. Or is it? Quiet in here. Y'all thinking about it? All the seeds were speaking when they brought forth, they had life in them after his kind. But what did God tell Adam later on? You shall be fruitful. And you shall multiply in the earth. The word fruitful, it means there's the reward of your obedience, but we know he didn't do it.
Right.
He fell short of being obedient to God. So whose seed was in itself after his kind, God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the what? It was the third day. Amen. There's a third day in our lives. It's when we come to a place in our lives when we allow the Spirit of God to lead us and to guide us into all truth.
Amen.
A lot of times the Spirit of God will have you go where you really don't want to go. It'll have you put up with you don't feel like putting up with. Amen. It'll have you loving folks that hate you. It'll make sure that you pray for folks that are despitefully abusing you.
Amen.
That's what the fruit is. That the seed is in our life. Well, this same seed that God was talking about had life in it is the same seed that we have in our lives that has life in it.
Amen.
On the third day. Amen. Well, let's go to Romans, the 15th chapter. Got to get out of Genesis real quick. But we'll be there. Romans, the 15th chapter. Trying to show you something the way God was showing it to me. God was letting me know that regardless of what other type of seeds you are around, you have to manifest the seed that's in you. Man has decided on himself that he has decided that he will grow different seeds and match them together. Changing the name and the orientation of that piece of fruit or of that vegetable. But how many know, once you began to eat it, you realize that it's not the one you had in the beginning.
Amen.
Y'all don't hear me this morning.
Amen.
Look at your neighbor and say, 12:30, we're out of here. Some of y'all didn't say it like you didn't believe it. I didn't even look up. Romans, the first verse says, When we that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. You say, what does this have to do with the seed in Genesis? I'm going to show you. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproach of them that reproach thee fell on me. This is what Jesus said. For whatsoever things were written for the learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scripture might have hope.
Come on.
Oh. In seed, God proclaimed and declared that the seed that was in the garden, that he put in the garden, had the ability to bring forth life in itself. That means whether it rained or not, the seed was going to live. You know what is the greatest flower that ever God ever created? It's called a dandelion. How many folks in here like dandelions? Not a very well liked, but that don't stop it from growing. You put poison on it, it grows. You pluck it up, it grows. You dig it up by the root, it grows. It's going to grow. You know what God wants us to be like? A dandelion.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've seen dandelions growing out of the side of buildings, out of the side of brick.
Yeah.
I've seen it growing in places that nothing else has the ability to grow in.
Yeah.
God wants us to be able to show forth fruit in the strangest and the most unpredictable situations of our lives.
Amen.
The fruit, God wants us to be able to show forth a nature and a character of God in spite of the things that we see or what we hear or what people say about us or how they feel about us. A lot of times, even the way we feel about ourselves, God expects us to get through it, get over it, and keep it moving.
Come on.
We there that are strong, or the word strong is dunamis, or it's talking about the ability to overlook and stress through whatever it is that you're dealing with. We then that are strong ought to do what? Bear the infirmities
of the weak.
Of the weak.
Yeah.
You'd be amazed at the folks that are weak around you.
Yeah.
I heard a man say last week in a service, we were in another church, and I heard him say, this word is for somebody that's not here. And I bit on my tongue and I said to myself, I look at the pastor, I was thinking, I say, he got that wrong. The word is for them that are here now. And I said to myself, evidently something has happened. Some word has went forth that touched him. So he's trying to put it off on somebody else. You ever sat up in church when you first started serving God and said to yourself, man, they sure need to be here. When you there, said you have to bear or hold forth, amen, or strengthen. It don't mean you got to carry somebody else's burden. You carrying enough on your own already. You already dealing with your body and with your finances. You're dealing with your jobs and with your family. God ain't telling you to pick up nobody else's infirmities and carry it. But what God is telling you to do is strengthen them in the midst of their infirmities. Of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Well, that means that don't you get haunted because somebody needs you to pray for them.
Right.
Amen. I feel that one bouncing around in here. Saints tend to get haunted. When God starts using us, we tend to forget what got us to where we are.
Right.
When you do that, you stop bearing fruit.
Amen.
He said, let every one of us please his neighbor. Look at somebody next and say, are you my neighbor?
Are you my neighbor?
We seem to have this big argument over who's our neighbor. Is it that person next door to you? Is it that person sitting next to you in church? Let every one of us please or exhort his neighbor. Amen.
Amen.
So how many decided that the person sitting next to you is your neighbor?
Amen.
They're your neighbor, Nancy? Yes. They're your neighbors? River Grant.
Yes.
Amen. I hope you said they are.
Yes.
Because they are.
Yes.
Pastor Hart say, I'm your brother whether you like my looks or not. Yes. However he said that. Yes. Well, they're your brother whether you like the way they smell, look, dress,
Amen.
Walk, sing,
Amen.
Talk.
Amen.
Don't matter. If they're not, then you're not bearing fruit.
Amen.
Dandelion. Please his neighbor for his good to edification. If you are that seed that has life in it, regardless of what the circumstance or the situation is, you're going to bear forth good fruit anyway. Regardless of how you feel about that person, if you're going to bring forth good fruit, then you're going to edify them anyway. The word good means to benefit, and edification doesn't mean to exalt, but edification here in the Greek means structure.
Amen.
Because somebody in your life, somebody that comes around you, somebody you know, they need some type of structure in their life. How do they get the structure? From seeing the life of God that's in you.
Amen.
Well, or whatever else is in you.
Amen.
My God. Jesus said, for even Christ Now, when it's talking about Christ, it's talking about the anointed one.
Amen.
That one with all the power.
Amen.
He didn't please himself. That means he didn't build himself up.
That's right.
He didn't build himself up, but he goes by the according to the word of God. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. What he's saying is, what type of fruit are you bearing? What type of seeds do you have in your life? Do you have seeds of life or do you have seeds of death? Well, you say, how can you have both? Because the old man has seeds also.
Amen.
He has seeds just like God has seeds. It's whom you're yielding your vessel to is the seed that's going to come forth in your life. We are too close to the end of time for folks to still be playing games with God.
Amen.
You can fool me, you can fool them, but you can't fool him.
Amen.
Amen. And undoubtedly, he's the one you're going to have to see in the last time anyway.
Come on, say that. Say that.
Christ didn't please himself, but as it written, the reproaches or the problems or the situations of them that were on them, you have to strengthen them in it. You have to let them know that they can make it. But a lot of times, don't want to hear what you got to say.
Right.
They want to see what you're doing.
Right.
God showed me something once. Folks were talking about, I'm going to show you my anointing by the power that I have. I can have the power to heal the sick and I can speak encouragement and deliver in your life. But God told me, no, you want to show what you have by demonstrating that you can stand in the midst of adversity and still give God the praise. Not with always lifting up your hand, but with showing forth the love of a God. I had a friend who's going on to be with the Lord name. Now her name was Sister Devon Porter. She was a very eloquent teacher. She had some situations going on, as we all do. But what she said, she messed me up one day. She said, let me tell you something. She said, the God. What she did, she changed the whole context of who he was. She said, I'm talking about the God. The God eliminates any other thing that might be in your life that might exhort itself as your God. Well, what can that be? Anything that you put before him. Don't worry, I ain't gonna mess. Your neighbor is your, listen to this, your neighbor is Christian or a friend. Just here, this is the kicker. Your neighbor is your countryman. Whew, I gotta take a jacket off.
Get a little warm. Thank you, sir.
Your neighbor is your countryman. We gonna bear fruit? How that sinner gonna find Jesus if you always talking about it?
Right.
Come on now. Come on now.
How the lesbian or the homosexual will know that God is real?
Amen.
If you spend all your time degrading them.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Your countrymen.
Amen.
Whether they realize who they are or not.
Amen.
They're still your countrymen.
Yes.
You still have to show the love of God for them. You may not like their attitude or the what's going on in them.
Amen.
God is looking for some real fruit.
Come on now.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. Brother Little John taught me something, and I didn't listen to him the other day. I got some tomatoes. Got some big tomatoes. And he had gave me some cherry tomatoes. Man, I was popping them things. I mean, every time I just had a handful. It was just like real grapes to me. I just, handful, just popping them. I can't even go to the restaurant room like, wash my hair, go grab me some tomatoes. First lady said, what you eating? Nothing. No, no, if I say I'm eating tomatoes, she say, no, you know you ain't got no good to eat tomatoes this time of night or that acid. But I'll be popping. Well, he said, don't put these in the refrigerator and they won't last longer. What I do? Stuck them in the refrigerator. went back the next day to get them, and one of them was already starting to go bad. What's God saying? You need to listen to sound advice. Fruit. You can't bear fruit if you don't listen to sound advice. But everybody know it all already. They already know how to do this thing. They know what to say. They know where to go. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. Genesis was written for our learning. God was letting us know that if you have the right seed in your life, it's impossible for it not to bear fruit.
Come on now. Say that.
You ever ask yourself, what kind of fruit am I producing? You know, I like to watch Andrew Zimmerman. He's all over the world eating that stuff.
Yeah.
I'm just curious. I want to see what he's going to eat today. I've seen the man eat rats. And they have never talked about how good it is. I've seen him eat everything. Gophers. Snakes. And snake don't taste bad now. Only thing I don't think I could ever bring myself to eat is a pigeon. Pigeons are delicacies in certain countries. Y'all got y'all faces all tuned up and frowned up. What am I saying? What you eat is what's going to come out of you. You know there are certain things you eat you hate to go to the restroom. You want to send that part of your body in and leave the top part out? Because it has a certain effect. It's producing a fruit too. Whatsoever things were written before time were written for our learning, for us to give an understanding. With all your kidding, get what? The people of God are destroyed for their lack of knowledge is what? Understanding. Why? Because we don't study the word of God ourselves. Tell you all the time, don't take what I say as the law. Find out for yourself. Get in this book and search these scriptures and see. See, the Bible says, search the scriptures in them, you think you have everlasting life. Folks think because they done read this Bible from front to back, they got everlasting life. Thank you, Sister Helen. They don't. For our learning, that we through, the word through means proceeding from or to accomplish something that was started. What was started in our lives? We received God in our lives as our Savior. That was the start. Well, how do we complete it? We don't. We just keep going and going and going and going and keep moving every day. Every trial, we learn from it. Every heartache, we learn from it. All situations, we learn from them. We learn from everything that we go through. In learning, we give a greater understanding that God wants us to move further into Him. I got a little tidbit for you, a little nugget. Don't wait till you get in trouble to call on Him. Call on Him before you get in trouble. Because if you wait till you get in trouble to call on Him, somebody else in the same trouble. Almost done. Quiet, friends. Whatsoever. What? Whatsoever things were written beforehand were written for our learning that we through patience, patient endurance. That means enduring patiently.
Come on now.
I have a problem with that sometimes. I'm going to keep it real with you.
Amen.
I have a problem with going through hell and being patient about it. But what I did find out, Pastor, was that when I try to figure it out myself, it lasts long.
Yeah. Say that.
So now I got to endure longer. But if I just get my praise on and thank God for who he is, thank God for how he becomes who he is, what he's doing for me in my life, when I thank God for the heavens and for the creepy things and for the fire of the air, when I can thank God for things that he's created and not so worried about what I'm going through, I find out that what I'm going through, I'm through it. What am I saying? If your focus is in this word, you will realize that all the trouble you got going on in your life ain't really trouble. It's a stepping stone to greater heights in him. Through patience and comfort, what does it say? Of the scripture. You can't get comfort by them if you don't know them. And you can't know them if you don't go through what you're going through with patience. Or in the word. Let me tell you something. You better get in your Bible. Because you're going to need it. The word of God says faith cometh by and hearing by, both by being through. Or through the word of God. Or through your understanding that you get in this Bible. Amen. I found out in certain situations I've been prayed for, laid hands on, but it didn't come to fruition or to a reality until I aligned it along with this word.
Amen.
When I aligned it along with the word, I realized that what the prayer said is the truth.
Creator of all things, and it is by my works and by the works of my hands that I've created all these things. And I have made things that they shall produce after my kind. For my seed, my life is in all things. My life is in the seed that was in the grass. My life was in the fruit of the fruit trees that I planted in the ground for man to eat. And that seed yet endures, even from the beginning of time. And the life that is in those things are in you. And my seed shall continue, for the life is in that seed. But yield not to the other, for he has seed also. And his seed is not good, his seed yields to destruction. But my seed leads to life, for I am life, and I am Zoe life. I am life from the lowest, from the lowest vector, from the lowest microbe unto eternal life. Those that are in me, those that know my word, those that are a part of my word, for my word is life. It is the bread of life. And all that partake of the bread of life shall have my life in it. Therefore, study this word. Get in this word. Break it down that it might become a part, that you might have the understanding that you need, the knowledge that you need, that you might stand up when the winds blow and the rains come. And those houses that fall, you shall not fall, because you are founded on my life and on my principles, saith the Lord God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. On his principles, not our own. God has an ulterior motive for us having a seed in us that has the ability to produce in itself. There's a motive. The motive is such. The motive is that we might show forth and be an example of Christ and the Word of God. With patience and comfort. Amen. You know, I don't know what your Bible says, but my Bible says, when it gets to the word comfort, it says, not comfort per se, but it says the comfort. When it says the comfort, it changes the whole power of the scripture. Now it's not just saying for a comforter, but it's now saying the. It's turning comfort into a person. And we know our comfort and our strength come from Jesus.
Amen.
comfort. You can't be comfortable unless you're comforted through him.
Amen.
And the scripture that we might have, that's also translated the hope. Because hope is not just a word. Hope is a person. That we might have the hope in our lives.
Yeah.
But you can't have the hope unless the seed that you have in your life is bearing fruit after its own kind. Now listen to me. If the seed that's in your life is the Adamic seed, if that's the most powerful part of your life, then that's the type of fruit you're going to bear.
Right. Right.
Come on, Pastor.
If you've brought it under subjection to the power of God, and Jesus or the word of God is the most powerful force in your life, then you're going to bear fruit according to the nature and the character of God. We're so worried about what God wants one thing to happen. Romans says that he's looking for a many-member body that represents or stands or look or has the same character and nature as his firstborn.
That's right.
Listen to me. Abel and Cain are not God's firstborn.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus is.
Amen.
That's right.
That he might have what? Many brethren. Just like himself. But we've got to make sure we've got the right seed manifesting itself in our lives.
Amen. Amen.
Well, you don't need anybody to tell you. You know what seeds in your life. You know what kind of fruit you produce. Amen.
Amen.
We got into a discussion about the tree in the garden. First lady and I, she asked a lot of questions. But most times she already know the answer for them. I think she's just trying to see if we align ourselves. She says, we were talking about the tree. How many know where the tree of good and evil was located in the garden? Most folks assume that the tree was off by itself. It was in the center. Along with what? The tree of knowledge. What was God saying? Depending on the fruit that you're bearing, you have to make the decision for yourself.
Amen.
Jesus said, if you draw nigh to me, I'll do what? He can't draw nigh to you if you're not producing the right fruit. And I hate to bust your balloon or whatever it is you ride around in, knock you off your broom. But there was no apple in the tree. It was not an apple. It was exactly what it said it was. A tree of good and evil. And the old serpent that was in the tree didn't have horns. It didn't look like a devil. Isaiah said he was covered with rubies, precious stones, diamonds. So when Eve saw him, he had got to be the most gorgeous thing she'd ever seen in her life. Who wouldn't talk to him? Somebody said, I wouldn't. I bet you would. Let some good-looking brother ride up. Nice car. When you talk to him, he's very intelligent.
Yeah, yeah.
Very knowledgeable.
Yeah.
And then he happens to be a good listener. And he don't promise you the world. He starts giving you the world.
Amen.
But someplace in between the world turns, you find out that he's a heathen. You found out you've been sucked in, lapped up, and spit out. Yeah, there you go. I like that. Hood, weak, and bamboozled. That's where Eve was in the garden. But don't get it twisted, man. Adam was standing right there. I asked the pastor this week. I said, what do you think about that? He says, what? That Adam was standing right there when she touched it. When she became a part, when she assembled, aligned herself with that tree. Where was he? He was standing right there. Ask yourself, why didn't he stop her? He knew they weren't supposed to do it. Why did he do it? Why he let him do it? That's another message. Get the CD. Cover of the scripture that we might have the hope, which is Christ. I'm closing with this. Go to Galatians. We're talking about fruit this morning. What fruit you got? You know how sometimes you go to the supermarket and you buy this kind of fruit, you buy that kind of fruit, and you might buy apples, you might buy oranges, you'll buy some pears, it might be cherry season, you'll get some cherries, you'll get some water, you get all kinds of fruit. But when you go in the refrigerator, there's one particular one that you like the most. Uh-huh. And you'll eat it till it's gone, and then get mad because you bought all the other kind of fruit. When you could have just bought that one fruit. Why? Because man is undecisive in his character. But you know what's so good about it? Don't matter. Because God's grace is sufficient.
Yes, he is.
Here we have in Galatians. Where are we at in Galatians? Don't nobody know. You know where we at. 5. Big letter 5. We're going to start with, let's start with verse 16. Now remember, we're talking about bearing fruit. How the fruit has life in it. The seed has life in itself, giving forth life, whether it be life on the life or life on the dead.
Right.
This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the
flesh.
What is he saying? If you stand on the word of God, you won't allow your attributes and your character to rule you. We could talk about other things about lust, but we're not going to get into that. For the flesh lusteth against the what? The Spirit. And the Spirit against the flesh. Well, there's a warfare going on in us, like we talked about in the book of Romans. There's two people living in there.
Right.
If you sit back long enough, you will know it. It's that one in there that's always trying to tell you to do wrong.
Right.
And then there's that other one that tells you, you know you're wrong.
Right.
But before we found Jesus, or he found us, we did the wrong one anyway. Let me go on. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that they ye cannot do the things that ye would. That means there's a battle going on over your fruit.
Yeah.
Right. Amen. There's a battle going on fighting over your fruit. If you don't study this Bible, if you don't pray without ceasing, if you don't meditate upon the word of God, if you don't fast to bring your flesh under subjection, your fruit bearing days.
My Lord.
Okay. But if you be led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now, here we go. Here's the fruit. Now, the works. Listen to what works mean. Listen to this. Works is translated in the Greek, occupation.
Yeah.
It's a job.
Come on now.
Now, the occupation of the flesh, the job of the flesh, are manifest, which are these. Adultery, fornication. In the original writings, adultery ain't even in the Bible. Fornication covers all of that.
Right.
Uncleanness, lasciviousness. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you the before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. When it's talking about it all, it's talking about your quality of life, not your quantity. If your quality of life don't align itself with this word.
Amen.
You say, well, saints ain't going to hell. Well, if you read your Bible, you find out that it's enlarging itself for a bigger quota.
Yeah.
But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no what? No law. Guess what the word fruit there means? It means reward. The reward of the Spirit of God is love. It's His joy. It's His peace. It's His long-suffering. It's His gentleness. It's His goodness, His faith, His meekness, His temperance. Against such, there is no law. And they that are Christ have the what? Crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. What is it saying? Translation. If you're saying you're spiritual, then live by it.
Amen.
Because talk is cheap. If you say you're anointed, then live by it. There's only one way you can be anointed, and that's to live by the Word of God. And you can't decide when and how you're going to serve God. People are doing it every day. If we live in the Spirit, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. The seed of life is in itself. I like to sit back sometimes and meditate on what seed is manifesting in my life. What type of fruit is being produced out of my life. And you know what I always find out? That I'm falling a little short. I don't know about you, but I find myself falling a little short. That means I have to study more, study harder. I have to pray a little bit longer until I can reach God. I have to come to a place where I can deny this flesh the very thing that it thinks it needs to live on. These things we have to do in order to, that we might comprehend the mysteries that God has hid, but now being known, that we might know the riches that God has available for us. There's a seed in us. I kind of almost imagine the seed, Brother Lloyd. I can see that. Before we came to Jesus, there was a seed that was in our life and it was producing that type of fruit that we read that are the manifestations of the flesh, or translation of flesh, the manifestation of the old nature or the nature of man that's in our life, which we all were born with.
Amen.
But then we decided that we were tired of being ruled by this guy. We decided to die, and we were tired of being ruled by our own ideas, by our thoughts, by our own principles, because we really knew that there was something different from the rest. We knew that there was something different that was far more greater and admirable that we could live by. But we couldn't figure out what it was. One day we messed around and we stumbled, Brother Little John, in the Jesus.
Amen.
Paul was on his way to Damascus and he stumbled. Stumbled into Jesus.
Amen.
And he began to produce a different type of fruit.
Glory to your name, Jesus.
But he lets you know that even though he was producing this new fruit, that other fruit was still fighting against him.
Right.
Remember when he writes in there in Corinthians, he's laying down, he says, Father, why have you sent Satan to buffet me?
Yes, yes.
Feeling sorry for himself. I don't know why I feel sorry for this. Lots of times, I've said, I don't deserve this. I've been faithful. I gave my tithe. I gave my offering. I don't deserve this. And the God said, if you don't, who do? I never answered him back on that, since Corinthians. Because I figured it didn't make a difference. I was going to deal with it anyway. I'm always trying to be with me a fruit collector. I want to make sure that the fruit that's in my life, Brother Fred, is producing something that's going to cause life to come forth. That when you're around people, they can get encouraged.
That's right. That's right.
When you open up your mouth to talk to people, they realize that there is a God.
Amen. Amen.
when they know you're going through the same things that they're going through, and you can still say, well, bless the name of the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. In spite of what you're going through.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
We've been bought with a price. Yes. Our lives are no longer our own, but they belong to God. But every now and then we decide that we can do better than he can. Well, a little bit more than now and then. So we take it up on ourselves to show God how powerful we are. In the process, we wound people. I'm a fruit inspector, but I'm not inspecting yours. I'm inspecting mine.
Amen.
Because as long as I keep inspecting mine, I've created an avenue for God to get in and bring forth some change in my life.
Yes.
We have to decide today, not tomorrow, not yesterday,
now.
Yes. What type of fruit are we willing to bear forth, mm-hmm. or bring forth? If you make up in your mind to bring forth the fruit of God, then you're going to go through some stuff.
Amen.
You're going to go through some stuff out here, and you're going to go through a lot of stuff in here.
Yeah.
Amen.
But it's okay, because you've already recognized where your help comes from.
Say that.
Oh, I like to change that. You already realize where the help is coming from. The help is coming from the God. So now you have a reason to get excited.
There you go. Yeah.
I can get excited.
Yeah.
My finances are low, but I can get excited.
Amen.
I got pain in my body, but I can get excited.
Yeah.
I'm being afflicted and persecuted by other folks, but I can be excited.
Hallelujah.
Because I know where my help is coming from, and I know that the help is the hope that I've been praying for in my life.
Amen.
And I know he exists because he's in there.
Amen.
Yeah.
The Bible says, Sister Angela, no weapon.
Yeah. None.
Did you know that no is universal? It means things in heaven, in this heaven, and in the other heaven.
Amen.
And weapon are instruments. Right. Instruments of destruction that come to destroy you. But God is greater in your life.
Yes, he is.
Amen.
So we're going to bear fruit.
Yes.
We just have to make up in our mind what fruit we're going to bear.
Amen.
And then you got to apply yourself to this word.
Amen.
You really do. You got to apply yourself to this word.
Amen.
Because when it comes to where the rubber meets the road, only what you do for Christ is going to last or matter anyway.
Yeah.
And if you don't apply this word in your life, then you don't have no lasting power. What was his name? What was the big guy, the big singer, the big...
Barry White.
He wrote this song called Stay in Power. I know y'all ain't never listened to that music. He wrote this song called Stay in Power. It was about love, but it wasn't about the love of Jesus.
Right.
With the love of Jesus, baby, you got stay in power.
That's right.
You don't believe it? Look in your mirror when you get home, or look in your car, and realize and think back on some of the things that you've had to go through.
Come on.
Some of the pains and the sicknesses that you had to deal with. Some of the afflictions and persecutions that you had to look the other way about.
Yeah.
And you're still here.
Yeah.
And you can still say, God is King. He's Lord. He's majesty on high. He is the great I am. He's the lily on the valley. He's the rose of Sharon. He's El Shaddai. He's Elohim. He's I. He's all God Almighty. There's none greater than him. When you can still say those things, then you know without a shadow of doubt that whatever it is you've been through had a purpose, it had a reason, so that you can be who you are now and get to where God is taking you.
Glory.
I got news for you. I might be a stumbling block, but I'm not going to let nobody else be one. You better stumble on your own. Everybody stay.